every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for ANAOACAGAPASLASLACRRMMDRAHAPAHAFAIR or any of them, they're guys.
None of them. No A's.
Nope. Our opinions are ours alone. Thank God for that. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly
and Mark.
Again, Shelly grabs the mic.
I actually was not even paying any attention. Then I realized, I have to say something now.
And thank you for that. Yeah. Shelly.
Shelly rarely pays attention to anything we say.
What they say?
That's how I've survived this long.
Right. What they say on the review on iTunes?
That I was apathetic.
Shelly's apathetic and disinterested.
You know what the problem was? She didn't care.
I don't care.
And she didn't care about that review either.
I have an interesting laugh, since we're in the banter phase. I've noticed a couple of things about the show. Because most of the time...
Only a couple?
Well, yeah. Most of the time when I'm editing, I don't really listen to the whole show. I'll listen to the cut-in leads, the lead-out, lead-in of every cut that I have to make or to insert something or whatever. I've noticed several things. One,
brilliant we are?
What?
How brilliant we are?
No. One, I say altogether too much.
You say quite a bit.
You have several stock phrases, Bruce, that you say quite a bit, but your biggest failing is that you interrupt us all the time. Mark, if I were listening to the show and I were a newcomer to, like, a cocaine-related program, maybe?
Uh-huh.
I would swear you were doing coke sometimes.
Really?
You sniffle a lot. Yes.
Wreckage of my past.
You do. You sit there. Like, before you say, yeah, exactly like that.
Wreckage of my past.
Deviated
Sorry,
septum.
My sinuses are shot.
I know, and I went through the other day, I thought, oh, man, maybe I should delete some of this stuff. And I got, like, halfway through deleting a couple of my ums here and there and some of your sniffles, and I thought, this is going to take forever. Forget it.
I thought for sure, with Mark, you were going to say the epic pause. So, Mark, what do you think about that?
Well...
Well, let me tell you.
And then you have to wait 20 minutes for him to tell you.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Mark? Well, there was this time. People were like looking at their watch and like, well, that one was a record. 22 seconds right there.
Yeah, that's right. There you
when
go.
When we need Phil on the show.
You just asked me a question?
Yeah. Hey, Mark, what do you think about that? Oh, well.
So what are you saying, that Mark is only here for filler?
I am. I'm just filler. I'm filler fodder.
Okay, you can stop staring at the ceiling now, Bruce.
Yeah, here's what I was going to say about that. That was the epic pause. So,
yes.
Oh my goodness.
What?
It's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Well, you figured since I was up anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
You race across the studio.
We have shout-outs to Donald, Bill, Phil, Fran, Deborah, Sean.
Brian?
Oh, Brian.
Brian?
Oh, my gosh. I think I forgot Brian on the last two shows.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, who's Brian? I forgot you.
I'm sorry, who's Brian? There's a creek not far from here named after him. Right out by where you are.
Yeah.
I am going to hear about that in the group. All right. Let's see. Where are we now? Ooh.
Ooh.
We're in Cleveland. one of the world's largest wastes of water is now off our backs. We no longer, as a people or as a nation or as a planet, have to support Ariel Castro because he uffed himself.
He did.
And saved
who?
Us the trouble. Ariel Castro, the guy.
What?
Okay, go. Oh.
Yeah, the guy who held those three women hostage for 10 years? Or prisoner or whatever? Yeah.
When I heard Castro, I thought maybe one of
Fidel?
One of the Castros in Cuba offed themselves.
No. Ariel Castro hung himself in his cell. Hanged himself, sorry. Oops.
With?
Grammar Nazi. He was less than a month into his one life sentence.
Yeah.
And he killed himself.
That's too bad. I heard he could have gotten his fourth life sentence set aside.
He what?
I heard he could have gotten his fourth life sentence set aside.
The fourth.
He had so much to live for.
Yeah. Apparently. Yes, and apparently most people really not that broken up over it.
I'm not.
Interestingly enough, though, the ACLU is calling for a full investigation because apparently they have nothing better to do with their time than mess with crap like that. They said, as horrifying as Mr. Castro's crimes may be, the state has a responsibility to ensure his safety from himself and others. Really?
So his family's going to sue the state now and get money off it because they let him hang himself.
I hope it goes to his daughter.
I don't know that they can because he wasn't getting out anyway. So it wasn't like he would be able to support them. They're not losing any
money. Yeah, but the state admitted that they have a responsibility for keeping him from hurting himself, and they didn't. So they just admitted culpability.
They did their best.
No, the state didn't say that. The ACLU said that.
They did their best. But had they not given him bed sheets, then they would have complained about his rights being violated. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he tied a bed sheet around his neck and around the
the
hook they put in the cell that night.
Yeah. Jeez.
What's that hook over my bed for?
Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever you think.
We are now going to Mexico.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Ciudad Juarez in Mexico. 10 out of the 20 bus drivers who are assigned to what's called the 4A bus route are not showing up to work. They expect the other half to probably start staying home now.
How come?
Because they're all scared to death. And a lot of the passengers are avoiding that route as well. Because a woman, they have not been able to find her. This particular route has lately been known as a dangerous route for women to take because there have been quite a number of sexual assaults on the bus. A number of them perpetrated allegedly by the drivers of the buses.
Allegedly.
Like late at night. Apparently a woman has been getting on the bus and shooting the drivers, killing them.
Why?
Because she's doing it. She's calling herself. She's sending emails every time she offs a bus driver. She's sending an email to like all the media outlets, and it's addressed for the signature is Diana the Hunter of Bus Drivers.
Wow.
How'd you like to put that on your resume? Well, for 2 years in Ciudad Juarez, I was Diana the Hunter of Bus Drivers.
Here's what I don't understand. Half the bus drivers aren't coming to work.
Right.
And half the people aren't riding the bus.
Right.
Doesn't this still work out fine?
Apparently. And anyway, she says that she is, I'm going to quote her here. I myself and other women have suffered in silence, but we can't stay quiet anymore. Oh, there goes your ride. Some helicopter going over.
I was
going
to say, they did not hear that.
Know. We were victims of sexual violence by the drivers on the night shift on the routes to the maquillas, which are the factories. And I am the instrument of vengeance for several women.
Wow. Did she get caught?
No, she has not been caught yet. She disguises herself, wears a wig. Nobody's really seen her face.
This is her manifesto.
One witness was quoted as saying that he saw a blonde woman get up, walk up to the bus driver on the bus and say, "You guys think you're real bad, don't you?" And then shooting him in the head.
Wow.
Who drove the bus?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the story.
Honey, I'm going to be late for dinner again.
Yeah.
Shot my bus driver.
Now let's see. In Oklahoma City. Okay, see.
Oh, Oklahoma, where the winds come sweeping down the plain.
Kelly, where? What's her last name? Where's the last name? I don't know. Okay, Kelly. She went into her kitchen one morning. She'd heard a bunch of noise coming from her kitchen early in the morning. She figured it was her boys getting ready for school or whatever. She goes, but it's 6:30 in the morning, so she said, I'm going to go check. She gets
a homeless
up.
Guy.
She goes down there to the kitchen, and there was a woman standing in the kitchen, and the back door is open, and she said, who are you and what are you doing in my kitchen? And the woman said, my name's Michelle, and I'm having some cookies and milk.
Okay.
Well, it's an explanation.
You asked.
So then she asked the woman, she said, I need to know who else is in this house with you. And she said, no one, that she had just been beaten up and decided she needed milk and cookies. So she came in
comfort food.
Yeah, she broke in through the back door. She'd even gotten down a plate and put the cookies on a plate.
That's nice.
So she was, you know. So the woman who owns the house, Kelly, went upstairs to her husband and said, you need to get your gun to come down to the kitchen now. By the time he got down there.
Cookies?
I guess so. By the time he got down there, she had made her escape.
Oh, no shit.
And
she sounds like a very polite person.
Unfortunately, what she forgot was that she made her escape, but she left her pants on the porch because she took off her pants before she came into the kitchen.
Oh.
So she was a half-naked woman standing
in
the kitchen eating milk and cookies.
Maybe her pants were really dirty. She didn't want to get dirt on the woman's floor.
Or she'd been drinking tequila.
Well, tequila makes her clothes fall off.
Exactly. The police did catch up to her about 10 minutes later and took her into custody.
Did they
custody.
Look for the chick with no pants?
Apparently. Yeah. I say apparently a lot, too. Yes.
Apparently you do.
And I'm rolling over my own cord.
Lisa, what's not an umbilical cord?
Shelly's having problems.
Yes, I'm having technical difficulties here. I just want to make sure that my cord is still connected to everything.
The cord is connected. Bruce, you want to cut the cord?
Cord is connected to your son.
Now, okay.
He's 19. There's a problem here.
20.
Ugh.
Hold on a second.
Just hit the button. Just hit the button.
Salut.
In the I think this might be a dumb idea plans in Utah.
Hi, Brian.
They are planning to build a gun range next door to a battered women's shelter.
Wow.
Well, the mixed use center.
Well, now
the hell is that?
Now the women that run the battered women's shelter are all up in arms about this. I mean, not
up in arms.
Well, no, they're not bearing the arms. They're just okay. Up in arms.
They might be
because a lot of the women that come there have been traumatized by violence, and they believe that having a gun range next door will disturb them. Now, Bill P. Oh, go ahead.
I think you're going to go the same place.
Wait, I was going to say, how many of these women are learning to shoot guns now?
That's exactly where I was going to go.
If you would let me finish what Bill
said.
That's
why I stopped.
Bill P. said he thought it was a fantastic idea, and then all the women that go to the battered women's shelter should be enrolled in gun classes.
That's right.
So that maybe they can take matters into their own hands.
This property protected by Smith & Wesson. But I'm protected by Smith & Wilson.
Okay. Now, on that same note, I got to find the story, though, because I kind of went, what? When I read
Bill
this.
Bill Piper, not a bad shot.
Okay.
Yes.
In Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines?
Yes, in Des Moines. Iowa is now granting permits, gun permits, to carry concealed to blind people. How could this possibly go wrong?
Well,
I'm seeing all the issues that might come up here.
If it's a shotgun.
All they have to show is their driver's license.
How do you carry concealed with a shotgun?
Big coat.
Okay. Well, anyway.
You ever see Morpheus's coat in The Matrix?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
State law does not allow anyone to deny an Iowan the right to carry a weapon based on physical ability or disability. And it doesn't specify in the law what that disability is.
Vision.
That's well.
So they are issuing these permits to people who cannot see.
Who is going there asking for these permits? The blind gun collectors, because there's so many of them? There's like one dude in Iowa somewhere who's blind that like got a gun permit.
Yeah. And they push the form to him upside down and go, here's a sign.
Yeah, and he didn't know.
It's just because of the way the law is that they can't prohibit gun ownership to blind
That's
people.
Fine. Let them own a gun. Fire away. You know what? You ever see that scene from that movie with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner? The Bodyguard, where he jumps out the window and he closes his eyes and starts shooting where he hears the guy break twigs. Yeah. I think the blind guy might do better.
Possibly. You said there's one guy. Actually, they've issued 3 permits to blind people.
Okay, one a year.
Yeah. About.
Approximately.
In a state of how many people?
10? 12? I don't know.
In a state of delirium.
I know one person in Iowa and her husband, so that makes 2 out of the 12.
Are either one blind?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
Is there any other big towns besides Des Moines?
In Iowa?
Yeah.
Cedar City.
Wow,
we named 2. Des Moines a million? Maybe?
Don't know. So 3 out of a million. What are the chances?
I'm just surprised. I mean, obviously it made the news because it's dumb.
What are the chances they shoot each other?
That'd be classic.
Gunfight
at the Red and White Cane Corral.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only 3 guys to not die are the gunfighters. Everybody else watching, it's gone.
Yeah.
Are you dead yet? No, but I think you got Charlie.
He's just mostly dead.
Yeah.
He's not all dead. In San Diego. This one made me chuckle.
We got home.
Apparently. I said apparently again. Apparently I need to stop saying that. They have a recurring visitor, a giant panda-shaped hot air balloon that is piloted by a specific company that the balloon company, Pandemonium of Del Mar. They will take you up in their little baskets under their panda-shaped balloons. However, they seem to have a problem getting the pandas down in the right place sometimes. And twice now, this is the second time they have had to crash land a panda basket in the middle of this one neighborhood in San Diego.
Why don't they just make that a landing site?
That's what I'm wondering. And now, since it happened...
You're painting a big X on the ground.
Yeah.
It's already happened one time. You're sitting in your backyard. It's a nice afternoon. Oh, here comes the panda. Now, it's the second time this has happened. The first time it happened, it was an oddity. Oh, my
and
goodness.
If it gets there quick, you know what it is? The Panda Express.
Jeez. Well, so the first time it happened, it was a novelty. Oh, this is something we'll remember for the rest of our lives. The second time it happened, now everybody's going, oh, we don't want anybody hurt. They now know, only 2 times into this experience, the neighborhood people run out and guide the basket gently to the ground. And then the balloon falls and they push it over. So... You know, by the 3rd or 4th time, they're going to need to hire these people.
San Diego people learn quickly.
Yeah, I think so. Yikes, a Rooney. Okay, and this, I have to do this one because I actually went, oh, good Lord.
What happened?
I have been saying for years that people are getting way too overstressed over this global warming crap. Because the planet heats and cools all by itself without any help from us. It has done for centuries, for millennia, forever, since it's been here. Yes, it's a little bit warmer. Guess what? It'll soon get colder. We just got out of a minor ice age, like 150, 200 years ago or whatever it was. Now they're saying, oh, no, it's global cooling.
What? Whoa, 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 what?
You know all the ice caps that melted and everybody's freaking out because all these islands are going under?
They're freezing up again.
The Arctic ice cap got back 60% of its ice in the last 12 months. It's global cooling. We're going to freeze to death.
People do understand that the globe
is always either warming or cooling.
Or cooling, yes.
Yeah, that's actually a good chance of that.
Yeah.
We know it's coming. It's like the meteorologist one time in the big global warming discussion said, what are we arguing about? And everyone said, what do you mean? He goes, can we agree that the Earth warms to a certain temperature and then it stops warming, and then it cools off, and we have an ice age, and then it warms to a certain temperature, and it cools off, we have an ice age. And people are like, well, but man's speeding up or slowing it down. He goes, but we can agree that this has been happening since before man ever existed.
Yeah.
And they said, well, yeah. And he goes, what's there to argue about? So, you know what? It is going to freeze.
Yeah. We're supposed to, the almanac actually says that the U.S. as a whole is going to have one of the hardest winters we've had in a while. And last winter was no walk in the park. But I just, I'm just apoplectic.
Do you know what they had a big, and I saw it on National Geographic or Discovery Channel or something. There's a big section of the Arctic ice cap that was clearly melting. I mean, you could see it from these time-lapse videos. And they were pretty sure, these scientists, that it was a volcano underwater because it was melting a hole in the top of this thing first. And that you could literally see, they're like, look, you can tell by these ocean currents, this is almost for sure volcanic eruption under the ice that's making that portion melt.
And the ice all formed because we had an ice age, right?
Right.
So now the ice from the ice age is melting as we warm up.
Right.
And when we get warm enough, we'll cool back down and make more ice.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad we cleared this up. It just because people would look at me weird when I'd say, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, but it's global warming. Because the reality is, I read a study that no matter what we do, unless it's something catastrophic like setting off 10 nuclear things, and even that's not permanent, we our little cars and shit, we cannot influence the planet as much as we think we are. We are not powerful enough. Yes, we are not all that in a
bag of
chips.
You know what is powerful enough?
What?
A couple of really big volcanoes.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Mount St. Helens, they think, put more particulate matter in the air than man, like quadruple the particulate matter that man has put in the air since man first lit his first fire.
Mm-hmm. That's because God says,
Do you realize Shelley could get away with that story? Had I told that story,
I'd be
blasted for how ultra conservative and everything that I
know. Is this conservative or liberal?
Well, I was gonna say,
it's an ice cap.
I've never thought of global warming as being either or.
Yeah, well, who knows?
I don't know. So if you don't believe me, all you listeners that are still going, no, it's global warming, go look it up. The pictures are posted on
Bill's conservative
survey.
Site.
No. It was like the Geological Survey or something like that.
Yeah, they're posted on the National Review.
Well, because you know a couple...
Because they're aerial pictures of
you know,
the ice caps.
A few years ago, there were pictures of Glacier National Park. There are not a lot of glaciers at Glacier National Park anymore. There's really not.
Yeah, give it a century. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House Aware Program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Dreams were your ticket out.
Welcome back,
Shelley.
Official eye roll.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
SoFullHappens.com.
.com.
What do we got?
Shelley?
What?
You've been doing good with them so far. What do we got? You even made up a name for this one.
Yes. Expense account.
expense account. And what is that? What is that referring to?
Well, actually, it was inspired in a strange way by our friend Diane's comments on the
Diane
recovery.
C. From Australia, right?
Yes.
She's an Aussie.
The land down under.
On Facebook. I said, not board, group. It's a group. They call them groups on Facebook.
That's not a knife.
This is a knife. Go ahead, Shelley. Keep talking. We're good.
Yeah, I know, but you guys are talking, and now my brain is like...
All she can think of is Paul Hogan and Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
He got arrested once in a bar for instructing a female patient to go to the land of wonder, the land down under.
You know, you've done that joke before on the
That's
air.
Okay. It's
yeah,
still
300
good.
Shows ago.
Yeah, still good.
It was like last week.
Still good.
But okay. No, it's not. It wasn't good the first time.
It was pretty good the first time.
Now I've totally lost my train of thought.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, so, you know, the conversation started out with, you know, Bill had said, you know, we're not a glum lot as a topic suggestion, which we probably will do at some point. And she said that a lot of the things that we say in the program, a lot of slogans are kind of glum slogans, but we're not like that. You know, now, you know, we can enjoy life and have fun, but it's not at others' expense. To which I replied, yes, it is. We sit in meetings all the time and laugh at it. It's at other people's expense because we're laughing at ourselves as well.
No, we're laughing at them.
Well, yeah, but and...
Yeah.
Because we're laughing because we recognize the insanity.
Yeah. We're not
because
laughing.
We've done it.
We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. Oh, you're not laughing. Okay, we're laughing at you.
Yeah. But and also I sort of morphed it into also, you know, before we got sober or clean or whatever.
Whatever.
A lot of the stuff we did was at other people's expense.
True.
And now we got to pay the tab.
I never stole from myself.
Epic pause.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and kick this off, Bruce, and do your little magic, your little Brucey magic.
Wow. If I'm going to do my Brucey magic, it can't be on the air.
Well, not that kind of Brucey magic.
Oh. I don't know. You know, I have to say that... I laugh at tons of stuff, and I think that people that are normies, they must go into a meeting and just think we are just either that we're completely whacked or we're the most insensitive people in the world, because someone will be like, "Oh my God, I crashed my car, and I was, you know, I didn't realize I thought I was in a circular driveway and I was on this guy's lawn, and I drove right through the side of his house, and you know, and everyone is cracking the F up because." We can see ourselves doing that sort of thing. And I don't feel guilty about laughing at it at all, because it could, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. Or in many cases, I've gone that way before. I got a guy I sponsor ripping down the street, decided to take a left turn. There wasn't a street there.
There was no there.
There's a street there now.
No, there was a church there.
Oh. What's there now?
Well, and there was a big sign.
It's a holy church now.
There was a no, there was a big sign that the church had. And a big fence that the church had.
So
and both of those
were gone.
Please
don't turn in here.
And, you know, and I'm just laughing. He's like, you know, this is kind of serious. And I'm like, dude, that's hilarious.
That's way funny.
And he's like, well, dude, I got to make amends for that sometime. I'm like, yeah, you will. I go, by the time you go to make amends for that, A, they're already going to have a new sign. You know, the fence is going to be fixed. Everything's going to be fixed. And the guy who runs the church is a priest or a pastor or a minister or whatever. He's going to forgive you.
Yeah, but, you know what? He might make him, like, go to church for 6 months.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Couldn't hurt.
That would be awesome. What? And Diane also mentioned about belly laughing. You know, some of the funniest things she's ever heard
have been
at meetings. Can you think of anything, either of you guys think of anything really funny you've ever heard at a meeting? Mark's already laughing.
I heard a speaker one time talking about when he was getting loaded, and he knew that he was being followed, and he was being shadowed by a team. and that the reason he knew that they were
cokehead.
Yeah, this guy was on meth. And the reason he knew they were a team is they all had the little Union 76 balls on their antennas on their cars.
Wow.
That was perfect.
Wow. I knew they were a team.
That's right.
I've read some weird stuff like that, too, before where people are sharing their story and, you know, how the helicopter would fly over their house and shoot the sound things into the roof and everything. And I'm like, were you dealing kilos? And they're like, no, dude. I was, like, dealing quarter grams. I'm like, they clearly did not use a copter that spent $6,000 an hour in gas to shoot an electrode into your roof.
Yeah.
You know, they probably just go up and knock on the door, hey. You dealing meth here? Knock it off. Shelly's got one.
No, that reminds me. This was long before I got sober. I was living in an apartment with two other girls, and we had a rooftop patio because we were the very top apartment.
Right.
Huge patio. We totally loved it. We had furniture. We had parties up there. One of my roommates got some ceramic terracotta pots and proceeded to plant marijuana in them. Then I was staying home for the holidays, and she went home and she said, hey, will you water my plants? I didn't really – I mean, I knew they were pot plants, but I didn't really think about the consequences thereof. And I said, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't really like having them there, but okay. So she leaves. Like, the day after that, I hear helicopters circling overhead. Now, this is Westwood, so there's always helicopters. But in my infinite wisdom, I decide that they have come to bust my nefarious drug-dealing biology major roommate. And I went and ripped out all the plants and threw them in the dumpster.
Oh, yeah, because that would have helped.
Yes, like four marijuana plants. And I'm convinced that the helicopter is coming for us.
From above?
Yes.
They're not that big? Even if they're a little bigger, the leaves on pot plants look amazingly like Japanese maple leaves.
Yes.
Like almost identical.
And the bunching of the bush looks a whole lot like a tomato plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't really thinking real clearly. All I was thinking was, they're coming to take me away.
You weren't even smoking it.
But no.
When my brother and I used to smoke weed together, and at my mom's house, back in the day, there was no wall across the back, just went straight back to this alley, and we used to drive his car up in the back, and we'd seed the weed because it's back in the day when you know, like Colombian or whatever. I think they were Thai sticks or something. Yeah. We would seed the weed and we'd throw all the seeds out the window. So I go away to school. I come back at Christmas. There got to be 300 2-foot plants all over the yard. I'm like, oh my god. So I dig a couple of them up, put them in really nice pots. I go, Mom, I wanted you to have this. And Mom goes, what a beautiful plant. I said, could you keep this out on the sun porch for me and water it? And she goes, oh, I'd be happy to. Oh, I love this. So for months, she's watering these plants. And then I come back from school, and these plants are good size now. They're 3-4 feet. I think I'm going to cut back all the sunlight on. I'm going to make them bud. All my friends got so interested in these plants, we come over one day, they're all gone. My dad has ripped them all out. My dad goes, I thought there was something up with these. You know what he did? He threw them out in the trash. You know what we did? We took them out. We hung them upside down in the garage for
dried them out.
A week. Yeah. But it was bunk because it was all leaf. So
it's okay.
I don't know if that – it wasn't funny heard in the meeting, but it was funny to me.
I remember a time several years ago, you and I were sitting at Starbucks. We're having coffee and smoking a cigar.
And how unusual.
And we're telling stories. The middle of the day. That was the unusual part. You and I usually didn't meet up during the day. But, and we're telling stories. To which we are both laughing hysterically. There was a woman sitting next to us with her child. Who had this horrified look on her face.
Yes.
You were telling the story about when you were in the hospital with the IV.
Oh,
I'm falling out of my chair laughing, and this woman is holding her child closer to her.
Oh, yeah. Stick the cocaine in the IV. What a brilliant idea. Well, we had something like that one time, Fausto and I and Greg and a couple of these guys, you know, and we're all telling jokes. But we're all out, and we're talking about, like, these strange paranoid adventures on cocaine. Uh-huh. And we're telling all these stories, and we're laughing, and suddenly Fausto looks over and goes, oh, my God. And I go, what? I turn around and look. There is a table full of cops right behind us, and they're just all looking at us.
They're laughing.
And I look at the guys and go, you know we're sober now, right? And the cops are like, yeah, we don't think you'd be talking like that if you weren't sober. Because, yeah. But, you know, the guy said when he first came out, he hears this, oh, so there's this one time I moved, it's like a kilo of cocaine. And, you know, that's what makes him interested. But we're all laughing about it and talking about how horrible things turned out. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, clearly you guys aren't doing it.
You guys either aren't doing it or you're so connected
yeah.
that we need to be afraid of you.
Well, the thing is, it's like, clearly you aren't on it because yeah. you'd be inside the bathroom in Starbucks with the door creaked open
yeah,
looking.
Just like this.
Good Lord. Shelly, anything else from you?
Well, I've had many hilarious moments in meetings where I've been laughed at and I've been laughing with. I think probably one of my favorites, I love the wet ones. They come into the meeting. I mean, sometimes they just sit there on wet brain row and don't do anything, and everybody knows there's an active alcoholic in the meeting by
the
smell.
The wet wall?
Yes, the wet wall. But we had one at my Monday night meeting one night, and it was sitting on the wet wall, and all of a sudden, and you could tell he was because he kept swaying in his chair like, I'm watching him going, oh, he's going to go over, he's going to fall out of the chair,
slow
he's going to fall out of the chair. Oh, nope.
Sway
nope.
into
yes,
the
and then he's safe, okay, and then he's going over the other way. And all of a sudden, it's toward the end of the meeting, and he stands up and like, is it, hallelujah, and start, I've been saved. And like, he starts going on about how awesome the meeting is, and this has turned me around. Now, this is the guy that was practically passed out falling out of his chair. And, you know, you're not supposed to share in the meeting if you've had any alcohol, but he was so funny. I was the secretary. And I was like,
it's not that you can't, it's that we ask that you don't.
Right. But I was not going to shut him up. I was having too much fun listening to him.
I was at a meeting, the Fabulous 502 Club, sobriety capital of the world, or so,
so they say.
And I took a guy there who was drunk. Good friend of mine, still sober today, picked him up off his lawn, and he's hammered drunk. And we get him in there, we're trying to pump him full of coffee, he's sitting there, meeting starts up, someone says, who would like to share? He goes, my name's Jason, I'm an alcoholic. And this woman named Camille, 30 years sober, stands up in the front like a freaking bulldog, slams both her hands on the table, looks at him and goes, shut the fuck up! You freaking alcoholic! Take the cotton out of yours, put it in your goddamn mouth, you freaking drunk! And this guy just, like, shrunk into his chair. And he listened quietly for the rest of the meeting.
It was the last time he ever listened.
Yeah, well. And you know what? I'll tell you what, a lot of people went up, introduced themselves to this guy. And so even though I know there was people around the room laughing at this guy's expense, It drew attention to himself, drew attention to him that he was new. It all worked out. Guy's got 23 years right now. Well, Shelly, what would your final words be on, what do we call it?
Expense account. We may have done things in our active disease that were at the expense of others. But then, you know, once you work the program, you get a little sobriety under your belt. You've made some amends. Those things you did at the expense of others become fodder for the experience, strength, and hope that we hear in meetings later on. So you pay back Ooh. Your expense account later on.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't even have anything planned, so that's good right there. Mark?
You got to laugh a little. Cry a little. Let your poor heart die a little.
Oh, man, I knew that was coming. I couldn't remember the song, but I knew it was coming.
That's the glory of love.
The monkey may be off your back, but the circus is still in town. That's a George Carlin quote.
I was going to say thank you, George.
So Shelly,
you did say it, but then you picked up your microphone and said it again.
Yes.
So Shelly, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat?
He runs the 12-Step Gazette. You can get there by going to recovery101.net, clicking on the banner.
Does it go to 12stepgazette.com?
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, official eye roll. Or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
That comes pretty turnkey. Even comes with, I believe, with some larger advertisers and things. So you guys should just, you know, not that anyone's having a problem getting a job these days, but you should try and hook that up. Mark, people are listening to the shoe.
Thanks. We appreciate it. And we ask that however you listen to the show, if it is not by going to our site, we ask that you go to recovery101.net and click on a show. You can like this show. You can become a member of Podomatic if you are not yet. If you were to click the like button and you were not yet a member, it would ask you, it would say, new to Podomatic. And by the way, if you've been a member for a while and all of a sudden it says that, just go on and join again. It's fine.
And free.
Yep. I've had to join like 4 times.
Awesome.
Because every now and then it just takes you out of the system. But join up. And come on, you can like the shows, you can comment, add us to playlists, follow. Hey, add us to those playlists, because there is nothing on a Saturday night like having a playlist full of Recovery 101. So
nothing you might want to experience, but, yeah, you know, it's
that's
like
right.
Nothing else.
It'll be like nothing you've ever experienced before in your life.
Like, nothing you would care to.
It's like my mother used to tell us when we were kids, stick with me, kids, I'll take you places you've never been. And we'd all say, and don't want to go.
Also, if you are Facebook friendly, you can join, like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page. It's rocking right along.
Rockin' Robin.
Probably by the time this show goes up, we may have broached 2,000 by then. I don't know. We've been getting like 50 people a day, so it's been pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not
is that
bad.
Good?
That's 500 every 10 days. So
is that good?
Seems good to me.
I got a song locked in Shelley's head now.
Wow. If I could remember what that song was you had to get out of your mind, I'd put it right back in there right now.
No, please, no. It was 14 days I had that stick in my head. Stop. I'm enjoying one day free of it.
Yeah, it wasn't that one.
I tried that one. I tried to use
that song
to get the other one out of my head, and it didn't work.
Okay, so, you know what, though? There's about 400,000 people running up pissed as hell at Mark. It's a world.
It's a small world. Never leaves.
Yes. Also, we've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff. Oh, don't forget.
What?
Don't forget to take a picture of yourself holding the thing that says Recovery 101. You know what? You should do that anyway. Take a picture of yourself holding recovery101.net on a piece of paper. We'll put it up on the into a photo album on the page.
That's right. Yeah, and we'll fuzz out your faces so you can remain anonymous.
Yes. If you want to remain anonymous, we will do that. If you don't care, then we won't do that. And if you want to use the breasts thing that we talked about last show.
Please don't do that.
Those don't get to be anonymous.
Well, those don't get to be on the Facebook page either, but we could figure out a way to... I'll store them for you, though, on my hard drive.
No, you won't.
She goes, no, you won't, because I'll have them on my hard drive.
Fran does an R101 picture every winter. For snowfall, she goes out in her car, writes Recovery 101 in the snow in her car, and takes a picture and uploads it to the group.
Sweet.
Dude.
Awesome. There's also recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
Matt Land.
Matt Land, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Good night.
And take care of you.
She is wrapped and beautiful in everything she says and does. It makes me better, and how could I deserve an angel like this? God has shed his loving grace on me. I'm dying to tell you, I'm living to know you more. I will show you. Looking deep into your eyes, I'll say I love you, beautiful. Beautiful. So there seems to be a million things in front of me, I know. But you're the only thing that makes me high. You've captured me, you're keeping me, and now I know that it's you I've been dreaming of. Underneath these stars tonight, I will show you. Looking deep to your eyes, I'll say I love you, beautiful. You're everything, you're taking me away from nowhere. Underneath these stars, underneath these stars, beautiful.